that thought in mind, I pulled a message out that I like to have fun with. It's a message I, in all honesty, wrote now over 2 decades ago. And it's just something every once in a while. I know I've preached it one time here, according to my notes, I think back in 2013. But again, it's just a fun little thing. Kind of makes you think a little bit. I'm going to ask you to use your Bible this evening. Amen. So if you have them, turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I'm going to ask you to also pick up Matthew 19. John chapter 1. And Matthew 19. And we're going to go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 18. And then we're going to finish with Job, chapter 42. Now, I'll give you some time to find all of those passages. They're mainly just one scripture we're going to use in both. But throughout this, I'm going to ask if you use your Bible a little bit. Amen. So John chapter 1, if you have it, stand with me, and I'll allow you some time then to flip through some of the passages or the verses for our text this evening. John chapter 1, look at verses 1 through 5, I imagine, verses that you know very well. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. That's power, friend. Amen? In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehendeth it not. Matthew chapter 19. Look at verse 26. Matthew 19, 26, the Bible says, "But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, verse 14. Genesis 18, 14 says, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life. Sarah shall have a son." Obviously, when Jesus Christ was speaking to Abram and Sarah outside of the tent and told her that they would have this son that they have long waited for. Job chapter 42. God's an amazing God, isn't He? Job 42. God can do all things, amen? God can do anything, amen? Job 42. Look at verse 2. "I know that Thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withheld from thee." Obviously, Job speaking to God Almighty, yes? He says, "I know that thou canst do everything." What a mighty God. What a powerful God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time tonight. We just take a few moments, Lord God, to speak of you. Maybe, if you will, play on words just a touch to bring forth a point or a number of points, Lord God, in the miraculousness of your work. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for that power. We thank you, Lord God, the way you execute it. In Jesus' name, amen. My God is a great God. Your God is a great and mighty God. Our God can do all things, yes. I mean, no matter what the task, no matter what the experience, God can achieve all things. God can do all things. We've been taught it from youth. We've been instructed it in many facets. God can do anything. Would you agree with that statement? Let me ask you a question. Do you realize that's an incorrect statement? God cannot do all things. You say, oh, great. I've been listening to this man preach for the last 8 years, 10 years, 15 years. You know, he's just marked completion of the 18 years pastor in this house, and now he's going off the deep end, and he's going to start preaching heresy. Friend, listen to me. God cannot do all things. I attest to you that that is a completely true and biblical statement. God cannot do all things. Despite what we have long heard, our God cannot do all things. And tonight I'd like to talk to you a moment concerning just five things that God cannot do. There may be some others. But as I thought about this, again, many years ago, and began thinking about the statement, God can do all things. And I thought to myself, now wait a minute. No, he can't. Oh, sure he can. He can do anything he wants. He can do anything he wants. But according to his word, he cannot do all things. See, are you playing on words tonight, preacher? No. I'm giving you absolutely truthful statements. I heard my father, and I don't know whether he remembers the message from years ago or whether it's just his own thought, but you think about it, the very first thing that we see that God cannot do. Friend, God cannot lie. Period. As they say, full stop. Turn to Titus chapter 1. Boy, you're going to use your Bibles tonight with me, all right? Not that many of us, you know, we're just core here this evening. Let's flip some pages, please. Titus chapter 1. I'm old back there, Miss Linda. I don't know if you're hearing me. Titus chapter 1. Let me know when you're there. Gotta speed things up, amen? You there with me? Amen. Look at verse 1 through 3. Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, what are those next three words? Do you believe your Bible this evening? Do you believe the Bible's truth this evening? Do you believe it's in every word, plenary, inspired book? Those three words say God cannot lie. Promised before the world began. But hath in due times manifest his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. God is truth, yes? Truth is the opposite of a lie, is that correct? The Bible gives me account after account of God being truth. Deuteronomy 32:4, the Bible says he is the rock. His work is perfect, for his ways are judgment. And a God of truth without iniquity, just and right is he. Book of Daniel tells me in chapter 9 in verse 13, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Christ taught in truth when he was here, manifest in the flesh. In Mark chapter 12 and verse 14 and following, when they were come, they say unto him, Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man, for thou regardest not not the person of man, but teaches the way of God in truth. It is lawful to give, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Obviously, as they were trying to trip him up. God is truth. Yes, God is the epitome of truth, correct? It is God's word and his truth that tell us point blank, specifically, God cannot lie. Wait a minute, God can do all things. No, he can't. His very word that he has no problem being bound to as well as he expects us to be tells us he cannot lie. You see, everything God in Christ does, has done, or will do is true and pure and perfect. And if that be true, and as we see in his very word in Titus 1:2, the first thing we see God cannot do is lie. But secondly, think about this. God cannot forsake me. He cannot do it. If God is true, and his word is true, then God cannot forsake me. The book of Deuteronomy, turn there quickly. Chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Stay with me. Look at verse 31. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. Turn over to Deuteronomy 31. Look at verse 6 of Deuteronomy 31. The Bible says, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Do you believe the word of God this evening? Do you believe what the word of God says this evening? 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 22 says, for the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Tells us in Psalm 94:14, for the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. You say, well, that's Old Testament. It's speaking to the Jews, preacher. Okay, I'll accept that as a different dispensation. Turn to Hebrews 13:5. Hebrews 13:5, different dispensation, right? Church age dispensation, correct? I certainly hope so. Seeing that we believe that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. Amen? Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content in such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. You see, my Bible says he will never leave me or forsake me. Now, is his book true? Yes. Then the second thing that we see that God cannot do is God cannot forsake me. Amen? Third thing we see God cannot do is, listen to me, God cannot remember my sin. God cannot remember my sin. Pick up Hebrews chapter 10. A few pages away, Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verses 16 and 17. Bible says, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and into their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. You believe the word of God tonight? You believe the word of God is true tonight? We can't have it both ways. Either God can do everything or God cannot do everything. Amen? And our Bible, which is his very word, which is the epitome of truth, specifically, precisely, and numerous times tells us there are things that he cannot do. Amen? Psalm chapter 103. It's not Psalm chapter 103, Psalm 103. You all right using your Bible tonight? Amen. Psalm 103. Like Brother Fisher said, we'll get you a t-shirt at the end of it saying, turn to all the scripture, amen. Psalm 103, look at verse 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, and as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. Isaiah 43:25 says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake. I will not remember thy sins. For my own sake, for his own sake, he says, I'll not remember your sin. Okay? Isaiah 44, verses 21 and 22 say, remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. God said, I have blotted them out. What? Thy transgressions, thy sins. God said, I will not remember them anymore. You see, when we say, I will not remember, for us, that's a choice. But when God says he will not remember, that means he has abolished them. Never to be remembered, never to be brought up. Amen. Friend, when we are saved from our sin, that means I will not stand in judgment for the damnation that my sin hath brought or brings. Amen. And you say, when we stand at the judgment seat, won't our wrongdoings be brought before us? Very likely our wrongdoings and our works of wrong will be brought before us. But what it means that when he says that he will not remember them is the fact that the judgment of them is abolished away. I will never be separated from God Almighty for my sin. He hath not remembered the judgment of them. Amen. Not only won't they be remembered, he said in Psalms that they are literally removed as far as the east is from the west. Amen. That's infamy, friend. I said that's infamy. So not only do we see that God cannot lie, do we see that God cannot forsake me? Do we see that God cannot remember my sin? Are you getting the idea? The Bible tells us that God cannot not fulfill Scripture. Again, please hear the statement and understand it well. God Almighty, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit of God is as obligated to fulfill this book as he expects us to be. He has no problem with that. That is not a deterioration of his sovereignty, his power, or in any disrespect of him this evening. He has no problem being held to his very own word. How else could it be the very validity of truth? How else could it be the very epitome of truth if God himself did not commit to stand firm upon it, its every word? Okay? Psalm 138:2 says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for the loving kindness for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. You realize that God has magnified his word in the ramparts of a celestial heaven above his very name. Psalm 138:2 tells us God places that word himself above his very name. Scripture was given. For what purpose? All scripture was given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. it is profitable for doctrine is what I want to focus on at this very moment. My doctrine is that God fulfills all Scripture. That's a doctrine, friend. God fulfills all Scripture. Much of what Christ did when he walked the earth was done for a specific reason. What was that specific reason? To fulfill Scripture. He told us countless times in Mark 15:28, and Scripture was fulfilled, which saith he was numbered with the transgressors. Look at Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. We all right up there, Miss May? Luke chapter 4. Look at verse 15 and following. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and to recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began and said on to them, "This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your eye, or in your ears." John 13:18, "I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me." John 17:12, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition." Why? That the scripture might be fulfilled. John 14:24, "They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend, but cast lots for us, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my remnant among them, and for my vesture did they cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did." John 19:28, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst." John 19:36, "For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken." Acts 1, chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. "Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry." James 2:23, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." Friend, this evening, your God, my God, as powerful and as sovereign and as almighty as he is, he cannot do all things. He cannot not fulfill Scripture. He is obligated to fulfill his very own Scripture. He told us it over and over and over and over again. He did and operated and fulfilled these certain things. Why? That the Scripture be fulfilled. Why? Because he cannot not fulfill Scripture. Amen? The Scripture must be fulfilled. Why? Because it must be fulfilled. Why? Because his word is true and was so true, it was even placed above his very name. If he didn't fulfill it in every jot and tittle, then it would not be comprehensively true. Amen? Not only can God not lie, not only can he not forsake me, not only can he not remember my sin, not only can he not fulfill Scripture, but God cannot dismiss me from the blessings eternal. God cannot dismiss me from the blessings eternal. Now, I use the word dismiss as to insinuate that I already belong. Amen? Belong to the family of God. I'm taking upon, if you will, a very respectable assumption this evening that all of us are children of the living God this evening. We are born again believers. We are saved and on our way to heaven this evening. Amen. Do you know God cannot, not only not forsake me, but his own word will not allow him to disown me either. Amen. Look once again, John 17. Are you still there with me? Are you still here with me? John 17 this evening. I'm beginning to wind down. Look at verse 4, John 17. Are you there? In verse 4, the Bible says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. May I make a statement while I read this? Ladies and gentlemen, this morning I read what the world calls the Lord's Prayer. Friend, that I read this morning was not the Lord's Prayer. That was Jesus Christ teaching his disciples how to pray. If you want to know what a prayer from the Lord Jesus Christ looks like to God the Father, you're reading it right now in John chapter 17. This is Jesus Christ speaking to his Father in heaven. This is Jesus Christ praying. Verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they received them. I have known surely that I came, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep thou thine own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Sealed, friend, by the Holy Ghost of God. Your eternal security cannot be removed. It cannot be taken from you. It cannot be disannulled. It cannot be disregarded. It cannot be stolen away. And it cannot be by lack of merit unearned. Amen. Galatians chapter 4, verses 3 through 7. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ. Amen. Folks, listen, do you realize if God put it in this book, it has to be truth according to his very own word. Amen. He cannot forsake me. He cannot cast me away. He cannot disinherit me. Amen. God wrote these things that we might know that we have eternal life. 1 John 5:13. You see, God does not mind following his own word, friend. He joys in it. God is true, and his Bible tells us, let God be true, and every man a liar. And according to his precious word, there are a few things God cannot do. God cannot lie, friend. God cannot forsake me. God cannot remember my sin. The Bible says that God cannot not fulfill Scripture. And we realize that God cannot dismiss me from the blessings eternal in which he hath promised me. Friend, we serve an almighty God, a great and amazing God, a God that, yes, as we speak and we state, as we've been taught from young, he can do all things. All things were made by him. There was not anything that was made that was not made. My friend, the truth, according to his very word that he hath placed above his very name, tells us there are few things he cannot do. Five things God cannot do. Let's stand this evening. As our piano player makes their way to the piano, and listen, this evening it was just meant to be kind of a, kind of a fun, intriguing, maybe deeper thought idea of simplicity. Amen? These things you already know. So again, it's not been meant to be something that would necessarily move the world this evening. It's not been intended for something that would bring you to a heavy conviction where, you know, your life would be altered from this day henceforth. It's just a little note for you to think of. I want you to understand that everything that God cannot do benefits you. I said everything that God cannot do benefits you. As the piano begins to play softly this evening, I think. Amen. As we stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Amen. Thank God for his word. Thank God for his mercy. May we take time to thank God for his grace, his majesty, the amazingness of a God all-powerful, all-sovereign, but has chose to literally limit his own power and ability to benefit me. How great of a God it is that we serve. What an amazing Savior who hath given all, done all, and achieved all necessary so that I might have all. Eternal life, the blessings of the promise of eternal life, the blessings of a sinful standing before an almighty God, the reconciliation when I had stood at enmity with that almighty God, the amazingness of the love, the benevolence, and the benefactor. I said God is an amazing God, but he is your God. He is my God. He is not just our God, friend. He is our friend. He wants to walk with you. He wants to talk with you. My wife this evening, when we got back from town, she took a walk. Along with her walk, she took our grandson. She got back this afternoon and she looked at me and she said, I really enjoyed that walk. Friend, that's just a snapshot, a small glimpse of the joy that God Almighty, that Jesus Christ has when you take time to take an intimate walk with him. Something that, yes, we should be doing daily, But truth be known, we all realize that we miss a time or two. We miss periodically. And it steals the joy of that Almighty God. That one of His greatest pleasures and desires is to simply spend intimate time with you or with me. What an amazing God we serve. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for our time tonight. And again, just a little bit of a fun notation, Lord, to make note of the things. And Father, again, you choose to cannot do that, Lord God Almighty, benefit me. In Jesus' name, amen.